churros, butterbeer, funnel cake, boysenberry. There's no food like theme park food. Eat the Magic is a YouTube series about theme park food in Southern California and maybe Florida. Eat the Magic is hosted by a childless millennial of real repute, Jared the Greek. Karens want him, Chaz wants to be him, no bothers given. Tune into our show Eat the Magic on YouTube. See our Thirst for Dole Whip on Instagram at Eat the Magic. We'll see you real soon at the parks. Why? Because we like you.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On the Street Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Bastards and wenches, welcome to episode 254 of No Borders, No Race, your J-pop and alternative hotspot. I am your king, baby Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Everything is so weird right now. I made mention of this, I think, in the last episode, but it's strange that during this COVID crisis, that there's this feeling of getting a lot of stuff done, while at the same time feeling like you've accomplished nothing. As of this recording, I have like 3 weeks worth of video game, anime, and manga reviews all written out, ready to go live on the Boston Bash Brigade site. That's a lot, to be frank. But at the same time, I feel like I've done nothing, and that nothingness comes from the lack of in-person socialization, and going to concerts, and conventions, and just doing stuff for the sake of doing stuff. But because there's none of that going on right now, it feels like days are being wasted away, despite the fact that I'm still working a lot, which now includes me teaching English to a couple of Japanese students. So I'm doing a lot, accomplishing a lot, and yet there's this part of my brain that's constantly criticizing me because it claims that I've got nothing to do and nowhere to go do stuff. Are any of you listeners feeling this way as well? There's definitely a mixture of stress and lacking of social lifestyle thing going on, so I reckon some of you might feel the same way as I do. Oh well. It's moments like this where this Bostonian has to close his eyes, take a deep breath, and say this little haiku that I have written. In these troubled times, we must at least be grateful that weed is legal. Honestly. Anyways, on today's episode, we're going to hit the alleys with the head of Serenity Forge as we chat about their upcoming game, Date Night Bowling. Plus, when plays go wrong, the comedy gets it just right. But first, as always, Nihon no minasan, mo ichido Nihongo yoyaku no mo hitotsu no edition ga yette kimashita. Atarashii anime series Infinity Train wa sono fukai storytelling to shinka suru character de miro shimasu. Cartoon Network ni wa mada ikutsu ka no maho o keiken ni oshidasu chikaru ga aru to iu shoku desu. Shikashi, kanseru sarete komatte imasu. Infinity Train o doko de aro tomo miru koto de oen shite kudasai. HBO Max ga mada Nihon ni aru ka doka hashirimasen ga. Sugi ni, After Age no Sakka no Taiho wa subarashii sakuhin ga hidoi creator niyotte dainashi ni sarete iru saiken no keiko no hitotsu desu. Creator to tsukiau koto naku, creator ga donna hito na no ka o suisoku suru no wa taihen muzukashi koto desu. Demo, tatoe sono hito ga anata ga daisuki na sakuhin o sakusei shita hito de atemo, watashi tachi wa hidoi koe o okashita hito o bosuro yo saizen o sukusa nakereba narimasen. Saigo ni, Netflix series Zenra Kantoku wa 1980年代 no Nihon no seijin eiga gyokai o sukoshi yumorasu ni misete mono desu. Fukai na hito de aru muranashi toru no ちせかつをややきれいに描いているにもかかわらず、ポルノに関して特定の人々の偽善を提示する素晴らしい作品です。もう一つのシーズンが予定されているので、そこで村なしの過去の嫌なものについてさらに深く掘り下げられることを期待しています。 I got lightheaded reading that one. Yikes. Anyways, my thanks again to my teacher Mikio Hattori Sensei. Remember, if you'd like to know more information on her cultural exchange initiative, please be sure to visit their website at ceinitiative.org. With that out of the way, let's start today's playlist. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and would like to support these artists, you can find all of their music on CD Japan, Yes Asia, Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. We're going to start the show off with Miwa, who just dropped a new single entitled Daitan. However, today we're going to listen to a B-side from that release that goes by the name Look at Me Now.
Show coming to you live from Tokyo, Japan, a year-end special, and I'll be with my good friend Evan Borgold, and you can tune into the Mike Rogers Show. We play Japanese music, Japanese pop, Japanese, and you can win a bazillion dollars on this show. I don't know how you can, but maybe, you know, if you listen to the show, maybe you can somehow, maybe buy a raffle ticket or something. The Mike Rogers Show. Yes, tune in. We're going to have our year-end top five countdown. It's going to be way cool, and you can hear more good songs just like this.
from her latest EP, Garden, that was Saori Hayame with Seto Giwa. This anime season, you can hear Hayame-san as the mother of the titular character in Uzaki-chan Wants to Hang Out. She'll also be reprising her role of Ryu Lion in the third season of Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? And portray Elise in By the Grace of the Gods in the fall 2020 anime season. My guest right now is the founder of Serenity Forge, who this year released the wonderful rom-com adventure game Half Past Fate, which we rated a 7 out of 10 on the Electric Sisterhood site. Now they're returning to the art of love as well as the sport of bowling in a new game called Date Night Bowling, arriving on PC and consoles next spring. I am very happy to welcome to No Borders Erased the man simply known as Z. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. So besides yourself, how are your team doing? Because I know, you know, with COVID going on, has there been much slowing down of development because of that?
Yeah, it's definitely been tough, but, you know, it's one of those things where the video game industry is, I would argue, probably hit a lot less than, well, you know, the rest of the world, essentially. You know, a lot of times when you look at people who work in restaurants or retail or anything like that, it's just such a difficult time right now, you know. Whereas as a game developer, you can work from home, you can work remotely, you're calling people on Skype or Discord. So I would definitely consider ourselves the lucky ones in this whole scenario. And we definitely, you know, appreciate the fact that we're able to kind of keep doing what we love.
Not to mention the way that you can just transfer data back and forth, especially when you're developing a game or adding like some new stuff to it. It could be just done so much quicker, even when you're not there in the same room.
Yeah, totally. I mean, right now we have just a lot of Discord calls, a lot of meetings online, and honestly, certain people on the team actually prefer to work from home, and they're able to get more stuff done that way.
Right, which is weird because I'm kind of like the complete opposite. Like, I find myself doing stuff better when I'm not like right in front of my computer, not so many distractions. But I feel like when you're developing something that you're very passionate about, like a video game that you're working on, I feel like it's so much easier to have so much focus on that when you're in the comforts of your own home.
Right. It also depends very heavily on kind of what stage of the development you're at. If you're in the beginning stages, you have a lot more design meetings. It's better to be in person. But if you're in the middle of production, then, you know, you're just coding away all day, every day. So a lot of times it's better to not have that distraction.
Absolutely. So I'm glad that your team is still working hard and strong during these difficult and challenging times.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. So, as mentioned, your last video game, Half Past Fate, had a big theme of romance within the realm of something of a point-and-click adventure. How have you felt the reaction to the game has been overall?
Yeah, I mean, the game was pretty well-received overall. I was surprised by a few things. First of all, the game ended up doing way better on the Nintendo Switch compared to PC, which were the only two platforms that we kind of supported. Which, you know, I wasn't too surprised by the fact that more Switch gamers are interested in a game like this. But what surprised me is kind of the magnitude. I think for every, like, maybe one copy that we sold on PC, we sold, like, 10 copies on the Switch. So it's just kind of phenomenal how gigantic, I guess, the Switch gaming is compared to what PC is. Another part of, just looking back at it from a retroactive standpoint, there hasn't really been a lot of games like Half Past Fate. Honestly, I can't really think of many that are, like, really in the same spirit as this game, which created a lot of marketing confusion. I think it's very easy to look at that game, especially the promotion of it. Oh, it's a rom-com. Must be a dating sim, must be a visual novel, must be a porn game, or, you know, like, it's easy to, like, look at a game like that and kind of make a certain set of assumptions, which I think both helped and hurt the game's release, because a lot of people who might really love watching rom-com films, you know, would look at a game like that and be like, ah, that's not for me. Whereas maybe someone who really likes dating sims look at the game and be like, well, where's the dating? You know, where's the choices? Where's the porn scenes? You know, like, they would look for certain things that just aren't there because of how unique the game is. Which ultimately kind of brings to the question of, like, why is that game even unique? Because it really shouldn't be, right? Like, you play the game, you kind of understand that.
Right.
The design itself is really not all that unique in the game industry. It has, every part of that game has been done by another game in the past.
Yeah, like I thought of like classic Sierra titles and LucasArts titles that had the whole point and click thing, but instead of having something like Indiana Jones or Roger Welko in Space Quest, you had like Billy Crystal trying to win the heart of Meg Ryan in video game form.
Right, exactly. It's like nothing is really unique, yet, you know, all kind of put together, it became a completely new thing that you know, it doesn't really have a comparable out there.
And it's interesting because you brought up the whole thing about it selling better in the Switch. And I remember reading an article where there's a bunch of video games, a bunch of indie developers have found that a lot of their titles sell much better on the Switch than they do on the PC. One great example is Blossom Tales. And I believe he said practically the exact same thing. The creator said that for every one copy he sold on the Switch, he sold 10 of them. So it's amazing that Nintendo has done such a great job with promoting indie titles on their console.
Right. I mean, something to consider is before the Switch generation, we're talking about Wii U, we're talking about Wii, and before that, the GameCube. You name me one indie title, I mean, on the GameCube. It's just like it doesn't exist, right? Like at that point, that wasn't even a thing.
Right. But then, wasn't until like Xbox 360 and like PS3 and being able to download video games onto your console when the whole indie market really blew up.
Right. But, you know, even as the indie market blew up, even with Xbox Live and, you know, PlayStation Network kind of became a thing and you started downloading games on these stores, WiiWare, you know, had a few indie games here and there, and they're like blockbuster indies like World of Goo, for example, or Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
You had like Wii U, you know, like I can't even think of any indie game that I really like enjoyed on the Wii U. It's just like wasn't really a thing. And then the Switch came along, and now it's like one of the most definitive indie gaming platforms out there besides PC. It's just kind of mind-blowing how quickly that shift kind of happened in front of us.
Absolutely. Regarding the Wii U indies, I do remember The Adventures of Pip being on there and being a great adventure title on the Wii U, but I know that's been ported to like the Switch and all the other current consoles. So there was a small indie market on the Wii U, but not as prominent as there was on the Switch.
Right. I mean, you can also argue it's just because it was the Wii U, you know, like the ownership was so little on Wii U hardware that even if you make it huge on the platform, it ended up being kind of a insignificant figure, like, you know, being the best indie game on the Nvidia Shield. It's not saying much, you know.
Yeah, I do still defend the Wii U as being a very good console, but I do understand that. I feel like a lot of the stuff that they wanted to do with the Wii U transferred so much better when they came up with the Nintendo Switch.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Wii U is an amazing console. In fact, it was the first console that we developed for. I have a Wii U dev kit sitting right next to me right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's. I loved the Wii U. I loved all the games that utilized the Wii U functionalities. I still recall very fondly playing Xenoblade Chronicles X on the console and just like really enjoying the kind of the duality between the screens and all that. But, you know, it's it made it hard, right? Like, it's kind of like when the Wii first came out and game developers looked at the console and was like, okay, or so you have this thing that you waggle. what do? I guess you just shake instead of press a button. Developers didn't really know what to do with it except for Nintendo, and Nintendo games often are the best games on these consoles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Wii U had even further of a problem, essentially, by having two screens that developers just didn't really know what to do with. Whereas by the time the Switch happened, now people are starting to get more used to motion controls. We can actually design around motion controls. We can always design around touch controls on the screen. And that just makes it a lot more, like, I guess, developer-friendly in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. So let's dive into the new game that you're currently working on, Date Night Bowling. So where did the idea for Date Night Bowling first come to fruition?
Yeah, so Date Night Bowling, actually, trying to think about it, it was probably one of the shorter development schedules that we've had as a team. I think maybe like a year ago, maybe even less than a year ago. I think it was as we're finishing up Half Past Fate that we started working on Date Night Bowling and started talking about it. It hasn't been very long. It just kind of, so at first, you know, we were trying to kind of just create a Super Nintendo-esque bowling game. But then as time went on, we realized that it's kind of funny to have this like dating scene in the game. You know, like a dating sim, for example, a dating sim is not really a genre, so to speak, or at least mechanically it's not a genre. It's more of a theme, right? It's more like a horror game. A horror game is not really a genre. It's just you turn the lights off and you have to walk around a little bit more scary, spookily. So like a dating sim is really kind of in that sense. And you can really slap any form of a gameplay onto a dating sim. A really good example would be Boyfriend Dungeon, for example. You know, like it's a game where you date swords, but you're actually in a dungeon crawler that's all generated. So something like that, we kind of took a lot of inspiration from, and it's like, why not just make a dating sim where you bowl in a traditional sense? And that's really the pitch, and that was kind of the guiding principle for making the whole game.
So dating has always been the first thing that came in the concept, and then bowling was just added to it?
Bowling and dating kind of came in together. It was more like a let's make a bowling game, and then dating is kind of the point of the game. What came really afterwards was more so the mini games. So I don't know if you saw in the clips that we have online, but it's not just bowling, but you also have these like really wacky things that happen in the game. The game first started off as like, okay, you just bowl and then you try to like talk to the other person. You have some dialogue choices, you go back to bowling. But then we're like, dialogue choices are kind of boring. How about let's do some other stuff? And then we had the idea of throwing popcorn into someone's mouth as like part of a date. Like it's pretty generic, like, you know, rom-com date scenario. So then we thought about, okay, well, if you're going to throw popcorn into someone's mouth, we can just use our existing bowling engine. So like, it's like instead of having see a bowling ball roll down the alley, you'll literally see a popcorn like fly in midair and land in someone's mouth. And you would like select, you know, like your force and whatever direction you want to spin that you want to throw it. So it's kind of like still a bowling game, but just a different theme entirely. And then that just kind of evolved into a lot of different other stuff. It's like, oh, what if we do this instead? What if we do this as well? And then now we have like a couple dozen mini games that take place in the game in between your bowling. And it kind of turned into more like a WarriorWare thing almost.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up because when I was looking at the minigame aspect, it reminded me so much of WarriorWare. So was that like a huge influence on the minigames itself, or was it just something that came out naturally?
It was totally natural. As soon as we started designing these minigames, we realized that WarriorWare's pacing is exactly what we needed. So we just went ahead and started kind of designing everything around that.
We're going to take a couple of music breaks, but when we come back, we'll hear more from Z about date night bowling. But first, we've got the latest from Darwin, who has collaborated with Bauhaus's David J. This slow little waltz is called Unkind Lover.
everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Time my lady won't sing along with the song. Music is my friend. When I'm done, I love the sound. Soon as my name again. Radio blasting, everybody starts being the time's locking low. And then nothing the world like the sound of music satisfy my soul. Say, Mr. DJ, please play another record for me. I'm feeling better since I turned you on. I wanna hear my favorite song. In 1957, never top down. In 69, Charlie Lincoln's again. Hey, Mr. DJ, play my song. Tell my lady, I won't sing along with the song. Music is my friend. When I'm done, turn up the sound. As soon as my head again. Radio blasting, everybody's laughing. The times rock and roll. And then I see in the world and the sound of music to satisfy my soul. Dwayne Eddy on a string guitar, a little Richard Pryor into the bar. Elvis Presley wearing blue space shoes, and B.B. King is screaming down blues. In 1957, never top down. A 69 Charlie Lincoln's again. And it's the DJ, be my song. Time my lady won't sing along with the song. Music is my friend. When I'm down, turn up the sound. Soon I'll spot it again. Radio blasting, everybody's laughing. The time's locking low. There ain't nothing in the world like the sound of music to satisfy my soul. There ain't nothing in the world like the sound of music to satisfy my soul.
The master of love himself, Masayuki Suzuki, with Good Times Rock and Roll, from this year's all-time rock and roll release. He once again took the reins of the opening theme for season 2 of the hit rom-com Kaguya-sama, Love is War, which may be getting a third season if the final episode was hinting at something. Up next, we've got the latest from Bump of Chicken, who will also be releasing a new live Blu-ray recorded last year at the Tokyo Dome. This song will serve as the theme to the anime film Love Me, Love Me Not. This is Gravity.
けど、そんな風にして時間に気づいて てしまうから、かき消すようにしゃべろうとして、なんだかやっぱり黙ってしまう。君の影の君らしい揺れ方を眺めてるだけで、泣きそうになったよ。見つけた言葉いくつつらげたって遠ざかる。今一番伝えたい想いが胸の中声を上げる。そんなの全て飛び越えて、子供のまま笑って、裸足のメロディー歌から、いつも今を許してしまう。笑顔のままずるいよな、いつの日かどっちかが遠くに行ったりして、会えなくなったりするのかな。今が嘘みたいに邪魔だ、会えた時はみたいに、またまなってそばにいられるのかな。大人っぽく振る舞ったり、尖ってみせたり、刺さった時にごまかして、変な感じになったり、そういうのまとめて愛せるくらいに、僕らは僕らを信じられてた。割と当時にくしゃみしちゃうのが面白かったよ。泣きそうになったよ。今日が明日、昨日になって誰かが忘れたって、今君がここにいることを僕は忘れないから、見えない涙拭って謝るように笑って、触ったら消えてしまいそうな細い雪の冷たさが、やけどみたいに残ってる。
You're listening to I Think This Is Great. I Think This Is Great! Exclamation point with Clay Inferno is the full name of the show. And it's an interview podcast about people doing and being their best. We talk about doing compassionate work, making books, working on teams, getting over hurdles, doing great things, even when the chips are down and you just, frankly, don't want to do anything. It's a little bit of a tech podcast, but mostly this is a interview show where I talk to some of the most fascinating people that have come into my life, and hopefully I get to meet some new friends along the way. So welcome, and please let me know what you think of I Think This Is Great with Clay Inferno by joining the conversation on social media with the hashtag ITTIGpod, or you can reach out to me directly at CLAYNFERNO, Clay Inferno. There is no I. in that inferno at Clay Inferno, clayinferno.com. But you are here at ithinkthisisgreat.com. So do me a favor, once the show launches, please go on to iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts and leave me a rating, and please spread the word. I want people to know about the show and the amazing people that I have on it. So we will see you on the internet.
This is LJ, and I think this is great.
Hey, this is Luke O'Neill, and you're listening to I Think This Is Great.
I think Jared Business is great, and I think you're listening to Clay Fernal. Wait, that was backwards.
I'm going to use that one.
Mattered Once Upon a Time, their latest single. A brand new album called Halcyon Days will be out this November, with the Tasmania-based rockers demonstrating a plethora of music styles throughout its 8 tracks. And we're back with Z from Serenity Forge talking about the game Date Night Bowling. So tell us a little bit about the bowling aspect and how that works, because I watched the trailer and I got some of that old school championship bowling on the NES vibes from what was showcased.
Yeah, championship bowling was like probably the number one inspiration for this game. There's a couple other ones like Super Bowling. Super Bowling was a huge inspiration as well. If you think about bowling games, right now the definitive bowling game is probably like either Wii Sports or some, you know, new age motion control bowling game on the Switch. And that was one of the first things that we decided. We wanted to make a bowling game where it's not motion controlled, which is a little bit against the grain, you know, like people care about motion control, or at least cared.
Right. Even like years. Remember, like in the arcade, there'd be bowling games and it wouldn't be just a stick. It's a little tiny little rolling ball that you spun towards.
Right.
The pins.
Right. Yeah, we kind of wanted to do something a little bit more old school. Who has made a golf or bowling game that didn't have motion control for the past 15 years? I don't think that happened. There are many games, but like full-on games, it just doesn't happen. We wanted to kind of capture that nostalgic imitation of bowling more so than actual bowling itself, because ultimately the game isn't purely about bowling, right? It's not a bowling simulation. It's a bowling imagination realm where people are also kind of focused more on the date. It's kind of like if you do go on a first date at a bowling alley with someone, like performing in your bowling game is only secondary, right? Like really, like you care about the moment-to-moment interactions with the other person, and you care about what you say, what you do, and the things that the time that you share with each other. So that's what we really wanted to focus on.
So what you're saying is you can bowl a perfect game, but it could turn out to still be a shitty date overall.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, like imagine the scenario where you're just an amazing bowler and your date doesn't really know how to bowl, and it's like, you know, their first time bowling. And you just like completely wreck them and yell in their face. You know, it's like, yeah, suck it. I'm so good. I'm way better than you. That's not going to turn out to be a very good date. And we want to be able to capture that in this game too.
So you're saying that there are going to be like multiple outcomes that can occur when you're going out on a date and bowling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we took a lot of inspiration from just rom-coms in general about this whole scenario. But, you know, ultimately, again, it is about that kind of interpersonal connection. A lot of things also, you know, like I like to voice is, you know, just because you're on a date, it doesn't necessarily need to be like entirely romantic or sexual. You know, it can be, you know, the game also supports a variety of cast, you know, like characters from all walks of life. So one of the things that we do want to focus on is more like, it could just be two friends going out for a hangout session at a bowling alley. Something could develop out of it. Something could, you know, or they can just remain friends. You know, like there's a lot of, you know, I guess nuance when it comes to the specific writing here.
Very cool. So what you're saying is it's not just about dating itself. It's even about more sprucing up one's friendship, building a much bigger connection with someone that, you know, you've probably known for years, but haven't had quite an experience like this before.
Yeah, definitely. It's way more about the human connection than anything else.
Is there an overarching storyline, or is this more of an open dating sim-like experience in date night bowling?
It's way more open. You know, you start the game by choosing your characters. So it's single player or multi or two people. You can play it, you know, versus mode. So you're like on a date with each other. And you get to choose your characters out of like 10, 11-ish characters that are in the game. And you get to unlock characters too as time goes on. But each time you bowl, you know, based on the characters that you choose, obviously you're going to have a completely different storyline. So that was actually one of the harder parts about the game, which is writing essentially like 11 factorial amount of dialogue there for interactions between all the characters. So yeah, I mean, like, it really, there's a lot of combinations on what you can do, and it's just a lot of fun to replay to see, like, oh, you know, so this guy was a huge dick when he went on a date with this girl. Maybe let's pit him against this other dude and see what happens between their date. And it turned out they hit it off, and they end up going on this romantic journey. You, like, you never know what's going to happen when it comes to this stuff.
You're going to have, like, stats with these characters, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, pairing someone up with who's a pro at bowling with someone who's a complete novice, it could turn into something that doesn't really work out at the end. But are there open possibilities where there could be a good pairing between the two of, like, the pro or the novice?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it really depends on kind of what you do outside of the bowling as well. You know, your dialogue choices, your mini-game performance. So, you know, it's not just purely about the pairing. It's really kind of a combination of the gameplay.
Yeah. So right now you have two locations players can bowl in. Can you tell me about those locations?
Yeah, to be totally honest with you, there's not much to talk about, but between the two locations, we just kind of wanted a new change of scenery for the characters, or for the players. One is a little bit more generic of a bowling alley, the other one's a little bit more of a neon-colored, new-age, colorful, kind of like a fun rave bowling alley.
Laser bowling, yeah, I used to do that all the time as a kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that type of stuff. Just kind of add some variety to bowling settings, you know? Like, we don't want the player to be staring at the same thing over and over again.
Will there be more added in during the game's lifetime for locations? Because, you know, there's not just regular bowling. You can throw in some candle pin as well.
Yeah, so we've been thinking about that. Ultimately, a lot of it comes down to kind of the business side of things. As an indie studio, we, you know, always operate on a very, very razor thin budget. So we just kind of have to we have to kind of see how the game does. We're really hoping that the game could do well so that we can fund additional content for the game as well down the road. More characters, more dialogue, more mini games, more bowling alleys. These are all things that are fairly easy to add. Another thing that we've been considering is, like, should we support online multiplayer? Right now, the plan is to only do local multiplayer, so you can kind of play with an actual date, even, you know, like,
right.
Literally, you can, yeah, play a date, play an entire date through with your date. But you know, it would be fun, especially in the age of COVID, to be able to support that online. But you know, that's a lot of work. It's hard to program online, especially for, you know, consoles.
Right. Understandable. I think a question a lot of people may ask regarding a Serenity Forest title is, are there talking shrubs?
You know, I haven't thought about that. That is a really good point. I'm going to have to see. I'm going to have to chat with our team about that. I cannot confirm nor deny at this point.
All right. Fair enough. So I guess my final question for this interview is, why should people check out Date Night Bowling?
I mean, I think, again, it's one of those things that just doesn't really exist previously, but it's something that everyone can relate with. You know, like old school bowling games or golf games or whatever, you know, these old school sports games where it's all about precision. They happened. People love them. And then people just kind of stopped making them entirely. We wanted to kind of bring that back, but take a new spin at it, you know, like for literally in this case, you know, for the past 15 years, we've had a lot of video game design advancements, design methodologies. We wanted to be able to kind of bring that old school mechanic into a newer setting. We're not just making a retro bowling game. We're making a retro bowling game design, but updated to a modern mindset that includes dating and character interactions and fun mini games on top of it with fast paced interactions as well. So really, I think that's kind of the main drawing point here, and it would just make a great game for a date or just hang out with a friend or something like that.
That all sounds fantastic, Z, and the game is called Date Night Bowling. For our listeners, where can they find out more information on the game?
Yeah, I mean, you can always find more information on our website, serenityforge.com. We tweet about our games fairly often as well, just at Serenity Forge. You can always sign up for our newsletter, our mailing list. It probably receives the most detailed information about our upcoming games and titles, and also just opportunities. And once in a while, we even send out free games and demos and stuff. So I highly recommend checking that out. And then lastly, of course, Discord is kind of the place to be when it comes to direct communication with our team. So you can just find us at discord.gg/serenityforge.
Z, thank you once again for joining me here on No Borders, No Race. Best of luck on the rest of the development of Date Night Bowling. It looks like a fun and exciting game that I think is going to turn quite a few heads when it comes out. Well, not like as a way of shock, but like a wow, this seems like a pretty cool kind of game.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time and giving me this opportunity to talk about the game.
Anytime, Z, anytime. The magic that is Bird, Bear, Hare, and Fish are back with a new double LP called BBHF1, Young Man Goes South, a fantastic cool-down album, perfect for those laid-back after-parties. This is a new song entitled Token Maho. Akira Meno Drink Bar Narande Iru No Wa Kimi No Tame Datta Te O Pon To Tataita Hai Kono Shou Wa Oshimai Ningyo O Shimatta Ito O Kitta Mita Mo
Remember the old school video games you grew up with? Curious about gaming history that's all but forgotten? Do you just like the sound of my voice? Hey, David here, and I host and produce the show ArcCast, which is short for Another Retro Gaming Podcast. Come join me every week for fun discussions with a variety of guests and friends within the gaming industry discussing the retro titles we all love. We also tackle retro gaming related news, play the game show Random Select, and do game giveaways. So give us a listen at retrozap.com/ArcCast or on any major podcast platform like iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and more. Thanks for listening and keep it retro.
いくよ。
With Fure Fure, which will serve as the ending theme to the fall 2020 season of The Genie Family, a remake of the classic Tatsunoko series from the 1960s. And if that song was a little too cute for you, then I've got just the remedy. Some good old-fashioned folk metal in the form of Eisenmoor. They have a new album called Shield Brother coming out next month, and thus far it sounds like a totally badass record. Here's a preview of what's to come in the form of their latest single, Furo Teutonicus.
You're right to try to chase. Generates from me unknown. In this pop culture saturated world, what's a nerd to do?
Hang out with your good pals on Nerdy Show, that's what.
Our flagship podcast is a weekly celebration of the multifaceted D20 that is the modern nerd.
When we're not devising horrors that combine VR and spiders or taste-testing weird food, we're discussing the latest geek happenings,
digging into our deepest nerd niches,
or interviewing a celebrity or two.
Head to nerdyshow.com or find us on iTunes and experience a multiverse of awesomeness.
From their new album, Reunion. The duo of Masayoshi Oishi and Tom Hack have been busy with their own outside projects, with Oishi releasing a couple of solo singles, and Tom Hack helping compose the latest song by Yui Ninomiya, which is being used as the opening theme to Peter Grill in The Philosopher's Time. I'll be writing up a piece about that very, very soon. Nothing brings a big laugh to the theater world when an unexpected gaffe occurs. This formula is what made The Play That Goes Wrong a huge hit both in West End and Broadway. Created by Henry Lewis, Jonathan Sayer, and Henry Shields, the show where anything that can go wrong, goes wrong in spectacular fashion. It spawned sequels in the form of Peter Pan Goes Wrong, as well as A Christmas Carol Gone Wrong, all of which were big hits both with fans and critics. But can this formula work on a weekly basis? The Goes Wrong Show attempts to bring the hit stage show to TV. Each week, a new play is presented by the cast and crew, ranging from courtroom dramas to a night in a scary mansion. But, as predicted, nothing goes right with the production. Lines are flubbed, props break, and entire sets collapse or get mixed up in colossal fashion. But with as straight a face as possible, the cast does all that they can to keep the shows going on. At times, The Goes Wrong Show can be victim of some overtly repeated gags. Line flubs can be funny, but it can get old after it occurs one too many times. Thankfully, that's the only thing that this show does not so well, as what is showcased throughout the 6 current episodes of The Goes Wrong Show is a plethora of hilarity every minute. A great example of a gag done right is in the episode 90 Degrees, where the crew builds the set at the wrong angle. This leads to some amazing visual jokes that sucker punch you into giggling like a buffoon. It's the highlight of the first season, as it demonstrates how to put on a bad show in glorious fashion. Watching the cast perform throughout the chaos is what pushes the comedy to greater heights. As props go off too early or fake animals malfunction, the calamity that occurs builds up towards one epic punchline after another. In Harper's Locket, for example, a running gag involves a butler that can't open any door properly because there's a big issue with how the set was built. At first, it's a normal joke, but then it explodes into something truly unexpected. And trust me, you will find yourself laughing your ass off when you see the butler's solution to this problem. That's where The Goes Wrong Show shows its greatest strength. You know something is going to cause trouble, but when it comes out of nowhere, that's when the comedy reaches its greatest heights. While it doesn't match the same energy and vibe as, say, watching it live on the stage right in front of you, like The Play That Goes Wrong, the show still delivers huge laughs that people of all ages will fully enjoy. You can catch the first season of The Goes Wrong Show on Amazon Prime, with a second season hopefully coming soon after all this real-life chaos dies down. Here's hoping it's sooner rather than later, because this shit was funny. Seriously, like, I marathoned through the first season of this show. Please check it out on Amazon Prime. The Goes Wrong Show. Don't miss it. Right then, back to some more music. Rad Wimps are back with a brand new EP called Natsu no Sei, which has them recording some new tracks entirely in English. This is one of those tracks called Light the Light.
You might be scared, but that's your strength. You must be tired. Hold on a sec. You feel disgraced and full of shame. You're halfway there until the light. Lack of hope, no way to cope. Sorry to say, I believe in you. That loneliness is all you have. But you know what? It's not your fault. Someday we will talk all night of all that we've been through. No more tears, no more sorrows, only your brightest smile. Someday we will laugh all night about our hardest times. Until then we'll hold our hands together soft and tight. Together we'll move on. Now wipe your tears you don't deserve. Will you show some smile? Oh please for me. Don't blame yourself. Don't hate yourself. You can be rude. You can be mean. I know you will be back in a while to where we used to hang out a lot. I like who you are. 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 Someday we will talk all night of all that we've been through. No more tears, no more sorrows, only your brightest smile. Someday we will laugh all night about our hardest times. Until then we'll hold our hands together soft and tight. Together we'll move on.
Passion, freedom, knowledge. The Abstract Japan Podcast at abstractjapan.com.
Look around at all the carnage in your face. And take a look around at all the phantoms in your soul.
With a special version of his song, The Weeping Souls. This particular version has the one and only Alan Johannes remixing it, who also just released his third solo album entitled Hum. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos from the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. Like us on facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and follow us on b3crew.tumblr.com. And you can follow me, Your King Baby Duck, on Twitter, the J-pop, video games, anime, amino pages, Instagram, and Twitch at King Baby Duck ESH. Don't forget to give some love to our friends at Black Compat, which you can find at blackcompat.com, twitch.tv/blackcompat, and youtube.com/blackcompat. Promotional consideration provided for this week's tracks from Darwin, The Silver Beats, and Johnny Polonsky made possible by Shameless Promotion PR. And a very special thank you to Julian Shaw Taylor for his contribution to Shameless Tuesdays. And one big shout out to Adrenaline PR for sending down that Ice and More track. My thanks once again to Z from Serenity Forge. Please keep an eye out for their new game, Date Night Bowling, next year, but also check out their latest title, Half Past Fate. It's a very enjoyable game, which you can grab on PC and the Nintendo Switch. We're going to end today's show with a new track from Sora Amamiya. On top of starring in Rent-A-Girl as Best Girl, Chizora, she has also dropped a new album called Paint It Blue. And from that new record is Viper. And until next time, this is Your King Baby Duck, remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Yoga, get out of your car. 一つ落ちて、ああ何も見えない、聞こえない、気づかれないようにそっと。
Hey guys, this is your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and your host for the No Borders, No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com, CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.